It's 4:06. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickard.
And I'm Rob Ferris. Coming up later, we'll look at an exhibit that asks parents to take a walk in the shoes of teens who are confronting drugs and other substance abuse issues.
First, after months of gradually warming relations, the United States is set to take another big step in rebuilding a relationship with Cuba.
Just days after he shared a historic handshake with Cuban President Raul Castro, President Obama is now signaling that he wants to take Cuba off the American government's list of nations that sponsor terrorism. So what could that mean for both countries going forward?
Joining us now to talk about the potentially historic move is Jennifer Lynn McCoy. She's director of the Americas Program at the Carter Center and professor of political science and director of the Global Studies Institute at Georgia State University. Jennifer, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you.
Well, the president has announced his intention to take Cuba off America's terror list. Now, if this happens, how significant would it be?
Well, it's mostly important symbolically in that there have been very few reasons to keep it on the list for the last decade or so. Cuba had renounced terrorism, has not supported insurgencies. And so it's been a request from Cuba for a long time, but from a lot of people in the United States thinking that they should have been removed quite some time ago. It's also important in terms of relationship with Latin America, who had viewed it as well as generally U.S. policy toward Cuba as anachronistic and harking back to the Cold War, when they see the United States moving forward in terms of relations with Vietnam, with China, with others, and, you know, why was Cuba singled out to be treated separately? And finally, for Cuba, it is important because it does, that being on the state-sponsored terrorist list does carry with it financial penalties. Now, removing it from this list will not lift all of the financial restrictions that the U.S. has on dealing with Cuba, but it will remove a few of them that affect banking around the world. Right now, no multinational or international bank wants to deal with Cuba or the Cuban intersection in Washington because of the heavy penalties that the U.S. puts on, partly because of this list.
Now, to tackle one of those questions, why has it taken so long for relations with Cuba to begin to normalize?
Well, that has mostly to do with domestic politics in the United States, in that there are very influential people in Congress who have very vocally and with success lobbied to keep the U.S. embargo, trade embargo against Cuba, economic embargo against Cuba in place for the last 50 years. And there had been a strong public opinion in Florida, and because Florida is an important electoral college state, every time elections come around, presidential candidates always pay attention. Now, however, not only is majority public opinion in the United States against the embargo in Cuba, but now opinion within Florida and even within the Cuban-American community, that is, exiles or children of exiles living in Florida from Cuba, the majority are in favor of lifting the embargo, removing the embargo, as well as normalizing relations with Cuba.
Now, to get a little bit of context here, you know, via history, how did Cuba end up on this list of countries that harbor terrorism to begin with?
Well, they were put on the list by President Reagan back in 1982. Previous to that, Cuba had supported revolutionary movements, insurgencies, guerrilla movements in Africa and Latin America. By 1982, it was beginning to reduce that support, but President Reagan put them on the list at that point in time. And they were kept on the list for that, with the justification that they provided safe haven to some members of the Basque separatist movement, considered terrorists by Spain. And that's a separate a piece of Spain that would like to break off. And also the FARC guerrilla insurgency in Colombia, who had also safe haven in Cuba. However, both of those governments have expressed for years that they actually appreciate Cuba's role in keeping some of those members of those two insurgencies, and most recently in helping to facilitate peace talks with them. So right now, Cuba is hosting peace talks between the Colombian government and this Colombian insurgent group, the FARC, which is very important as it's the last civil war in this hemisphere and is hopefully will end within the next year or so.
I'm going to look at another aspect of this, something that is on the table, the opening of embassies. What would that take and what would it mean?
Well, it won't mean a lot in terms of what we see on the ground, in that both countries already have what are called interest sections, which were opened during the presidency of Jimmy Carter. So we don't have ambassadors. We have people who are representatives of the countries in the interest section, but they basically function as ambassadors, and there are diplomatic staff who function there, and they approve visas for people traveling back and forth, et cetera. But this, but having these current buildings that they're housed in be renamed as embassies is symbolically important because it does reflect that both countries are now recognizing the other as, in diplomatic terms, you know, as a legitimate country to deal with. And what the U.S. is really trying hard to negotiate is to have much more freedom of travel of the diplomats to be able to travel around Cuba. In both countries, currently, there are restrictions on their diplomats to travel. So the diplomats from Cuba who live in Washington must get approval if they want to travel, say, to Wisconsin and give a talk. They have to get approval from the State Department. And likewise, U.S. diplomats in Cuba have to get approval if they want to travel outside of Havana. So the U.S. would like to lift those restrictions and have it operate as a normal embassy in any country. And they're still negotiating that point.
How do the U.S. and Cuba both stand to benefit when it comes to economic gain with this change?
Well, there are some slight changes. For example, President Obama said that he would now approve U.S. companies, telecommunications companies, to help improve internet access, cell phone access within Cuba. U.S. companies are currently restricted from helping provide those services in Cuba. That would be very important for Cuban citizens who have restricted access to the internet and to cell phones, et cetera. So that could be very important for Cuban citizens in terms of having much greater access to a variety of sources of information than they currently do. Of course, the Cuban government will have to approve the entry of these new telecommunications companies. But it's very important to note that normalizing relations does not mean the economic embargo is lifted. That is controlled by the U.S. Congress. So that would be a decision of the U.S. Congress to lift the economic embargo. The economic embargo is what restricts trade between the countries, restricts U.S. companies from being able to invest or to trade with Cuba, to sell products to Cuba, and restricts what American citizens can do in terms of spending money in Cuba.
We're talking right now about the president signaling that he's looking to take Cuba off the American government's list of nations that sponsor terrorism, talking about what that might mean right now with Jennifer Lynn McCoy, director of the Americas Program at the Carter Center. And Jennifer, you mentioned that a lot of the opposition to this kind of thing has eroded over the years, but there is still some pretty formidable resistance in Congress, at least, and among some in the Cuban community, among those the fear that it could weaken U.S. security. What are people saying about that?
Well, some, for example, presidential candidates have come out against it. Marco Rubio is against it. And as I said, some, you know, powerful members, particularly Cuban-American members of Congress, do oppose any relaxation of relations with Cuba. However, I don't see that it's going to threaten the United States at all. Instead, it's going to allow American citizens the freedom to travel to Cuba, eventually perhaps to invest and trade with Cuba, as I said, if the embargo were to be lifted in the future. So right now, it's mostly travel and engagement of citizens to citizens. This is the country in the world that the U.S. restricts its own citizens from traveling to. And so this is a restriction on U.S. citizens currently, and that's what President Obama is trying to change in part with this by making it a little bit easier for Americans to go for educational purposes. It's still restricted. Tourism is not permitted. It must be an educational or cultural trip, or journalism or church-related trip.
Now, the president has said that restoring ties with Cuba, it's not going to be a silver bullet that fixes all the problems. The two countries still don't see eye to eye on all issues. What do you see as some of the sticking points that still remain as we wrap up?
Well, the U.S. would still like Cuba to become a democracy with competitive elections and multiple political parties. That's the U.S. goal. And Cuba is resisting that. It has a single party, the Communist Party. They do have elections, but there are restrictions on who can run in those elections. And the U.S. has concerns about human rights and freedom of expression and, as I said before, access to information for the Cubans. So those are areas where the two countries still disagree. The U.S. would still like to press for changes in those areas. And that's part of that's a large reason, the main reason why the U.S. embargo is still in place.
Jennifer, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
We've been talking to Jennifer Lynn McCoy, director of the Americas Program at the Carter Center and professor of political science and director of the Global Studies Institute at Georgia State University. She joined us to talk about the president's call to take Cuba off the country's terror list. We're continuing our conversation about President Obama's move to take Cuba off the list of state sponsors of terrorism. Unless Congress blocks that change with an unlikely joint resolution within 45 days, looks like it will come to pass.
It's a big step in an ongoing effort to normalize relations between the U.S. and Cuba. Now we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What do you think about starting a new chapter in U.S.-Cuban relations? And you personally, if a travel ban is lifted, would you want to go there? Have you been to Cuba under some of the exceptions to the travel ban? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can comment on the Central Time Facebook page. We've got Joseph on the line now in La Crosse. Joseph, hi.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Hey, listen, this is just a really bad idea. A couple of years ago, one of the organizations that I work with sent some people there every year, and the number one thing they wanted was toothpaste and soap. Really? Because those aren't so hard to get here. This is a country where many things are true, but much isn't accurate. They talk about 100% literacy, but that just means people can read at a fourth grade reading level everything the government allows them to. They talk about universal health care, but doctors still wait a decade to be able to get a car. I have a friend whose mother was a doctor there until she managed to leave, and the family grew up there. Everything people think they know about Cuba is mostly wrong. It simply isn't true. It's a totalitarian dictatorship, and in celebration of the attempted renewal of relations with the United States, what does Cuba do? They go out and they pick up and they start harassing, 250 more people, political dissidents. This is not a group of nice people. This is a group of people who, under a heading in our country, would be listed as don't play well with others.
Joseph, thanks for the call. Taking your calls about U.S.-Cuban relations at 800-642-1234.
And we go next to Joe. Joe joins us from Madison. Hi, Joe.
Yes, hi. I wish that I had caught the first part of the last caller's comment. I was on the phone with your with the person that answered the phone. But I think I disagree with what he was saying about anything, but as far as my comment goes, I would like to see the embargo and all travel restrictions lifted. I think that the sanctions, the embargoes that the United States has put on Cuba were completely unjustified when they were instigated. I do understand why the United States has always held a sort of held Cuba with such disregard.
I'm going to have to leave it there, Joe. I've got a short bit of time there, but thank you so much for your call. Joe wants to see all of the restrictions released.
Back to our callers with John in Crystal Lake, Illinois. John, hi.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Just wanted to say I was there about a year and a half ago, my wife. Americans can go there. You just have to fly in from a different country. It's really not hard. It was an amazing experience. My wife is Brazilian, and I've done a lot of traveling in Latin America, so I thought I had a pretty good understanding of Latin American culture and whatnot. I speak Spanish, but it was an eye-opening experience and really sad. The Cuban people are kind of like little kids looking at the rest of the world through a window. They're prisoners, basically. They're very crafty people and smart, and we were ripped off continually. We were also lots of beggars asking us for, like your other caller said, for shampoo and T-shirts and hot dogs, whatever they weren't allowed to have. I would not want to do business with them. Can't trust any of them, especially the ones that speak English. Everything's controlled. Tourism is controlled. You have separate money for tours, and it's like the other caller also said, it's not like anything any of us can really understand.
Gotcha, John. Thanks for the call. You can keep the conversation going over at the Central Time Facebook page. Share your thoughts on the idea of normalizing relations with Cuba, and share your experiences if you've been to Cuba as well.